Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people. Because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
If you really want to watch Sunday Night Football again, it's airing on NFL Network. I don't know that I would recommend it unless you would like to take a nap or unless you have insomnia, you can't sleep, you might put it on. It was an impressive performance by the Chargers. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. And that is a step forward, I think, for the Chargers, because sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get a little bit too cute. Sometimes they play down to the level of their competition, or sometimes they are the down level of competition. They find creative ways to cause their fans heartache, and not just heartache, but indigestion. And so at least they didn't do that. But the Bears, yeah, they're without Justin Fields, a little bit like the offense is a ship without a rudder. I do love the Tyson Bagent story. I'm so glad he's had this moment. But there's a reason why Justin Fields is the starter. So we'll wait to see what happens there. But I'm wondering whether or not the Bears, since they aren't a contender, if they become a team that is offering pieces at the trade deadline, or if they become, it wasn't that long ago that they were making the trade with the Carolina Panthers for the overall number one draft pick. Are they a team that is a seller, if you will? It's hard to know what you would give up from that team. I don't know. They just got DJ Moore. He spent all of 8 games with them, right? But there's an attractive piece. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But for the Bears, it's just another brutal season. I know their fans feel the exact same way. But at least now you have company in the basement of the NFC North, where the Packers are happy to hang out and exchange recipes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll save the NFC We'll save the NFC North for coming up. Not just we want to talk about Kirk Cousins and his injury, but also because of the fact that the Packers are definitely in dire straits. And then thinking about the Lions on Monday night too, and how they really have a huge opportunity. That division, it's one that I think is upside down from maybe what a lot of people expected with the Vikings specifically. So we're asking you, because there have been more quarterbacks who have gotten injured, more quarterbacks who are out for the season or could be, so waiting with bated breath, we want to know, with the trade deadline looming, if you're a team that needs a quarterback, where do you look? Some really intriguing answers on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We'll put up that Monday MVP poll before long, because there were some pretty impressive candidates. One of them, his NFL debut. Not sure it could have gone any better. So that'll be bottom of the hour. But two teams that have veteran quarterbacks, they were locking horns. LA Rams. I didn't even do that on purpose. The LA Rams on the road at the Dallas Cowboys. And if you tune into this game late, let's just say you had a lunch that you were going to with family, friends. It's a Sunday. Okay. Maybe I'll just pick up the game at halftime. Well, you missed a whole lot.
Prescott's in the gun again. Pollard on his right. Back to throw. Looking right. Deep to the end zone. Leaping catch for Jake Ferguson. Touchdown, Cowboys, to start the game.
They're going to blitz Stafford. He throws it to the left. Picked off by Bland. He's done it again. Look at me, Ma. I came back home.
A house call for Deron Bland.
9-yard loss, and the rookie punter, Ethan Evans, they drafted him from Wingate in the 7th round. Oh, they blocked the punt! And it's going to go through the back of the end zone. Prescott back, time, looking, throwing it into the end zone to C.D. Lamb. Touchdown, Cowboys. Rams are going to rush 4. Prescott runs up out of the pocket and runs right, looking downfield. Throw into the end zone, touchdown. C.D. Lamb. Cash in, that's C.D. 22 yards and his second touchdown of the day.
Brad Cham amusing himself and Cowboys fans by getting cute and quirky there in the second half. Yeah, this was a complete dominant performance. The Rams were already trailing 33-9 at the half. So if you were running late after your Sunday lunch or Sunday brunch, well, you missed a lot of the action. An overwhelming performance by the Cowboys in all three phases. So Deron Bland with his third pick six of the year. There was a block punt for a safety because it goes out the back of the end zone. Dak Prescott twice found CeeDee Lamb for touchdowns in the first half.
Cash in. That's CD.
And so even though Matthew Stafford is able to engineer a touchdown drive before and after halftime, and maybe you thought there was a chance they could come back, problem is he leaves the game late in the third quarter with a thumb injury and does not return. And so whatever hopes they had of really coming up with a rally, those were squashed there. But I will say I felt like Dallas didn't take its foot off the gas, if you will. There was a 17-play drive in the third quarter that took 10 minutes off the clock. Now, it only resulted in a field goal, but at that point, you take 10 minutes off the clock, Matthew Stafford doesn't come back after that, and you're in a really good shape because of your defense. For CD, an exceptional day. And actually, even though it wasn't a touchdown, he had a long catch later in the game that put Dallas in position for Dak's fourth touchdown pass, which went to Brandon Cooks. And so Dak was near perfect on this day. Over 300 yards, only misfired on 6 attempts, 4 touchdowns, though he does have an interception in there, and C.D. Lamb certainly his top target.
We want to make sure that we continue to build, and I think we did that today. We wanted to take a step in the pass game. I know that was a point for Mike, get some more attempts out there, and the guys did a great job protecting, getting open, just a successful win.
The way our team's laid out, I mean, there's big play potential. So, I mean, you got to build that into, you know, the normal flow of how you want to attack games. But the identity is complementary football. You know, you got to be able to run it when you have to run it, throw it when you have to throw it, and no different on defense. You know, we know that people are going to attack us, you know, through our run defense, and just because of our ability to take the football away and pass rush. And, you know, I just love what John Fossil's doing with the special teams also. You know, and this is as young as we've been on special teams since I've been here. So, you know, they stepped up big today.
Did you see how Coach Fossil is like up and down the sidelines? He's as fiery as his dad was, just so much spirit and so much pride in special teams. And part of what Mike McCarthy did when he put this coaching staff together was to bring a bunch of veterans with him. And a lot of them have stayed. Now, I know Kellen Moore, he's gone to Los Angeles. Give him credit for what he's done with Herbert and with the Chargers. But what you see on this coaching staff is a bunch of veteran minds that come from different backgrounds and facets of the NFL. So Dan Quinn, who's remained, he's a former NFL head coach, and obviously John Fossil and his legacy, but also his tenure in the NFL. And so they've got, I think, two back-to-back most impressive wins of the season. And even though they're still looking up at the Eagles in the NFC East, that's week 9, peeps. That is week 9, and there is an opportunity. And it's clear that Dak Prescott is settled in now, too, maybe because of the criticism. We know what the defense is about. They were just as good on Sunday. What did Micah Parsons? I can't wait for his podcast on Monday. It's my favorite. But what did Micah Parsons tell us? Laugh now, cry later.
Laugh now, cry later.
He's bold. He's exactly what the Dallas Cowboys need. So they are now 5-2, as I point out. They've got two big wins. Also protecting the home turf. They've won 11 in a row in their own stadium in Jerry's World. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Matthew Stafford leaves during the game, and He has a thumb injury, but actually he stayed out there despite the fact that he had initially gotten hurt. There was another moment, though, that really made it impossible for him to continue.
He did when he was finishing a throw. That wasn't the injury that limited. And you saw him, you know, he takes us right down the field on the opening drive of the second half. Looked like the stud that we know and love, and did a great job. And unfortunately, it looked like that injury occurred that kept him out for the rest of the game. It did occur when he ended up catching the two-point attempt from 2-2. We were hopeful, but then as soon as I got the information from Reggie and from Dr. Elitrosh, you know, that was the information they communicated to me. They were going back to look at it, and that he wasn't going to be able to return, but I don't have any further information other than that.
You guys, did you see him catch the ball on two-point conversion? Is it Tutu Atwell, right, that threw it to him? And I'm sure they practiced it all week, right? It probably looked brilliant in practice. And credit the Rams. Matthew Stafford was wide open. There was nobody on his third of the field. I mean, nobody. They fooled everybody on this two-point lineup. And the way it was like a couple of different passes, right? It was a misdirect and change of direction. And so Matthew was wide open in the right, on the right flat. But, coming out of the right flat. But he had to dive to catch the ball because Tutu's pass was kind of, it was like a Peyton Manning wounded duck. Remember when he used to make those like weakling kind of throws? And so it didn't go far enough, it didn't come out of his hand right. It was a wobbler. And so Stafford had to dive to catch it. And so it was an awkward moment anyway, but that's when he really injured his thumb. You know, it takes a lot to get Matthew Stafford out of a game, but that's when he injured his thumb. What is like a just... Ugh. It makes you never want to try anything different with your quarterbacks because that's what happens.
It wasn't graceful. That was quite the catch, just looking at it again.
Yeah, it wasn't graceful at all. He kind of flopped, but he did catch the ball. And again, Tutu didn't have a great throw. I mean, it was a little wobbler. You know,
it was a bad throw.
It was. Very it bad. Was a bad yeah. throw. And so I don't know if Tutu feels bad. He probably shouldn't because the thumb was already injured. But yeah, Matthew Stafford... He's been the reason why they've been able to transition so quickly to this younger group of weapons, right? Tutu Atwell being one of them, but not just that. Kyren Williams, who's on IR at this point, but waiting for Cooper Kupp to return, and he picks up right where he left off. And then, of course, Puka Nacua. I mean, he's the glue guy, as I said, with Kirk Cousins. Things are changing around the quarterback, and he's the reason why they've still been able to put up numbers on offense.
I'm not really sure of what the situation. Obviously, he wasn't able to come back, but hopefully that he's able to heal up as fast as he can, and then we'll be able to communicate and build a game plan ready for next week.
Yeah, so for Nacua, that's got to be frustrating, but also you wonder, like, is that it? He's had so much success early on with Matthew Stafford, so that's frustrating for the Rams, no doubt. But he's like a RoboCop, and half the time he's out there playing with, like, all kinds of injuries and maladies and broken things and torn things. And so if anybody can come back, well, he definitely can. Just that Cowboys pass rush is fierce. The irony of the whole thing is that he survives the pass rush, but he gets injured fully on a two-point conversion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about Matthew Stafford and his injury, don't really have any type of definitive word. We do know that the Vikings fear the worst on Kirk Cousins. And so he leaves about midway through the fourth quarter, hobbles off and goes directly to a cart.
We are fearing currently he's being evaluated and will be into tomorrow. We are fearing an Achilles injury. The severity of that, I do not know at this point. But I know that's what, you know, our fear is in the moment, and we'll confirm that as soon as possible.
You really got no words for it. You know, it breaks your heart. The guy's the leader of the team. He's the heart and soul of the team. Had such a great season at this point. It's been, an honor and so fun to watch. And so you just hope, you know, pray for the best and hope everything's okay. Again, that's just the guy that we play for. And yeah, can't say anything else. Just thoughts and prayers with him and his family right now.
There is so much here with Kirk Cousins. He's so durable. Now, Matthew Stafford just talked about he'll play hurt. So does Cousins. And if you watch the Netflix series Quarterback, you know he does not want to talk about injuries. He doesn't want injuries ever to be a reason why he misses a game. In his career, he's never missed a game because of injury. And while the reports are, including Adam Schefter, that the Achilles is torn, there's been no confirmation yet. Okay, so we don't have definitive word. That would likely come on Monday. But after Kevin O'Connell shares the fears of the Vikings, you hear the voice of Jaren Hall, who's the rookie backup quarterback. So at this point, we don't know if he'll start. But could you imagine if he starts in week number 9? 8 rookie quarterbacks would have started this season. 8 rookie quarterbacks. That's crazy. Nick Mullins is on injured reserve, so maybe you thought there was an option, but he's not available. He's got a back injury, couldn't come back until week number 10. They've got Sean Mannion on their practice squad. Man, they got a lot of quarterbacks. They got Sean Mannion on their practice squad, and maybe the Vikings thought they might make a trade for one of these guys, to send one of these guys away, but without Kirk Cousins, you're potentially looking at trying various options. So it's a bummer. And you think about Jordan Addison. So I was talking about this with Stafford, right? This influx of new talent. Well, what about with the Vikings? Justin Jefferson's hurt. And so what have we seen from Kirk Cousins? Figuring out ways to spread the ball around, right? Figuring out ways to incorporate different members of the offense. We know they lost Dalvin Cook. And so it's been Alexander Mattison who's doing the yeoman share of the running. They've also got Cam Akers, who had a touchdown on Sunday, right? The receiving core, you're talking about KJ Osborne, who has played with him for a while, Brandon Powell, who? And then Jordan Addison, who, like, I like the similarity here between what Stafford has done with Puka Nacua and what Kirk Cousins has been able to do initially with Jordan Addison and some of the big performances that he's had. So this is also tough for him as a young receiver.
That got a big impact on not just the receiver room, but everybody in here, his leadership. That's just a guy that we need around, but even though he's down, we know he's still going to be around. He's still going to help the quarterback room out. He's still going to help the defense. He's still going to help the receivers.
Jordan Addison, another one of those rookies who is making a major impact. He's already got 7 touchdowns. Was it 7 touchdowns in this game or in this season so far? So for him, you know, losing Kirk Cousins is a big deal too. Wait, I'm counting them up: 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7 touchdowns. So far. And I mean, that's incredible for any receiver, forget a rookie, right? So the Kirk Cousins injury is probably the biggest storyline. We don't know about Matthew Stafford or Kenny Pickett. Tyrod Taylor still up in the air as well. We're asking you, if you're a team who needs a quarterback, maybe you've just lost yours or you don't like how your backup is playing, you think it's going to be longer. I don't think Gardner Minshew would be the answer to this question even before they lost Anthony Richardson for the Colts. But you think about Gardner Minshew, he's all or nothing. He's either brilliant or he's just bonehead. It's one or the other. There's no in between with Gardner Minshew. But he would have been potentially an option, except, again, when you have a rookie quarterback, you have to, a lot of times you want to keep around a veteran because it's a good safety valve or it's a good tutor as well. So Jay mentioned earlier,
Andy Dalton.
Right, but Andy Dalton was brought in to kind of help with Bryce Young's development, right. So I can't. And he's already missed a game or two.
Yeah.
So if Carolina's not getting rid of Andy Dalton because they could need him, I was wondering about the Cowboys maybe because they've got Cooper Rush as a backup. Would they turn around and flip Trey Lance? I got a couple of great responses. I forgot about this option on Facebook. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is still available. And after Aaron Rodgers went down, there were a number of New York sports analysts, including Boomer Esiason, who was saying that Carson Wentz is the obvious. Go get Carson Wentz. There are some veteran backups that are either free agents or who are in the NFL. But I gotta tell you the truth. If I'm a team right now, even if I do have my starting quarterback, I'm not trading away my backup if I have any designs on winning a damn thing because watch what's happening around the league. I mean, it makes you nervous if you still have a quarterback that's active and standing and playing, active and upright and playing. Well, then gosh, you're thankful every week that you get through where that's the case, but you also know that these injuries can hit your locker room or hit your team at any point. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, then on our Facebook page too. Let's see, coming up, could you have imagined a better debut for one Will Levis in the Tennessee Titans while we're talking about rookies and quarterbacks who are injured, Ryan Tannehill unable to go. Levis already has more touchdowns in one game than Tannehill has this season. All right, think about that for a second. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Spears at the back, eye offset to the right. Play fake. Looking, Levis throwing.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Commuting to work again? Welcome back. Just breathe and remember, you got this. And the all-new Hyundai Kona is there to help. Class-leading interior space means you can stretch out. Intuitive tech like remote smart parking assist makes parking stress-free. And complimentary BlueLink Plus allows you to set the climate controls remotely. Learn more about the all-new Kona and your best commute ever at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith Levis trying to get it to Hopkins. He's got it at the five.
No!
Into the end zone. Touchdown! Titans! 47 yards! Will Levis! First career touchdown pass! DeAndre Hopkins! Levis to throw it. Fires. Got it. It's Hopkins at the 10, at the 5, in the end zone. Touchdown! Titans! Levis to Hopkins on the crosser for a big six. Levis looking to throw it. Throws deep downfield. There's Hopkins all alone. 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, give him 61 yards. Touchdown, Titans. The trifecta. Levis to Hopkins. Not once, not two, but now three times on the afternoon.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Quite an NFL debut for the seventh rookie quarterback to start in 2023. Wowzers, seven of them. Will Levis becomes number seven. We may end up having number eight next week if Kirk Cousins can't go and Jaren Hall ends up starting for the Vikings. But we'll save that for another day. Will Levis and his family having a blast. First NFL game, first victory, four touchdown passes for him, three of them going to DeAndre Hopkins. So final numbers, 19 of 29 for 238 yards and four scores.
This is a dream come true for sure, but I mean, we have, what time is it right now?
3:48.
Yeah, I got 12 minutes to celebrate it before we're on to Pittsburgh, as Vrabel said, so... But, I mean, like you said, I've been dreaming of this moment as a kid my entire life. Even just to touch the field in an NFL game, let alone get a win, is incredible.
He's got a strong arm. I think anybody that would have played quarterback today, we would have tried to, you know, move the ball. When we've had success offensively, we've been able to one, throw those, be able to hold up in protection, and two, be able to hit them.
Mike Vrabel wanted to move the ball anyway, but had no idea it would go so well with his rookie, Will Levis. True to his word, he did insert Malik Willis into this game. I don't remember exactly when it was, one play and it was a turnover, if I remember correctly, or it was something bad. It didn't go well for Malik Willis and he did not see the field again. If I remember, it was not equitable. It was not as though Will and Malik were playing the same number of snaps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I tell you what stood out to me? And actually, I pointed this out to Bob, who is from Houston area and used to be a big fan of the Oilers. The Titans were wearing the old baby blue Houston Oilers uniforms. And I love the contrast of two brand new Titans. Okay, so Will Levis is a rookie. DeAndre Hopkins is playing his first year in Tennessee. Two brand new Titans, but they're tearing it up in old throwback uniforms. Man, life comes at you fast. So Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, I think this is super cool. You've got a veteran receiver who has actually caught multiple other quarterbacks' first touchdowns in the NFL, and now it's Will.
I just trust in what I saw. And we knew that we might have some opportunities to go over the top on them, and we weren't necessarily going to force it, but just wanted to make sure I was right, making the right decision, and he was obviously doing a good job of getting open.
You got to thank Tim Kelly and those guys, the whole offensive staff, of getting him ready, getting him prepared for today. Obviously, he's a very talented quarterback, confident. He plays the game like he's been here before, but Tim Kelly and those guys did a great job of getting him prepared today.
So Ryan Tannehill still unable to go on the ankle. Will Levis has 4 touchdown passes in his first game. Tannehill had 3 in all of the games leading up to Sunday. Now, I know he's been injured and he's been hobbling, but the offense has been a mess. And on this day, it breaks out. Whether or not you want to say, oh, it's Atlanta and the defense, blah, blah, whatever. But still. I mean, the Titans will take any offense they can get right now. Derrick Henry, over 100 yards. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about quarterbacks, the Falcons send Desmond Ridder to be cleared or to be checked out for a concussion. He does get cleared, at least that was the report, and yet Taylor Heinicke takes over and Desmond Ridder doesn't go back in the game.
He's taking a leak, and I hear Arthur... heard Arthur calling my name, so kind of came out and he said, you're in. So that's kind of how it happened.
Taylor Heinicke, I'm not sure we needed you to give us that much information, maybe a little TMI, but that was Taylor. He was taking a leak, to use his words, and he heard Arthur call his name. Where exactly was he? Halftime? I need more information. Now that you've given me too much, I need more. Where were you taking a leak?
Is there another tent that we don't know about?
Apparently. What's in that blue tent? I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some type of a contraption in the blue tent for guys so they don't have to go back to the locker room. But if you hear the coach call your name, well, it's certainly not happening in the locker room at halftime, right? Because he could just walk right up to you. But in this case, he was somewhere.
He's taking a leak.
Taking a leak, and he hears the coach yelling for him, Taylor! Oh, Taylor!
1 minute.
Gosh. All right, Arthur Smith, so time for you to answer. Not so much about the leak part, but what about Taylor Heinicke? Is he now the starter?
You guys got the same report I did, right? I'm not a medical expert, but there's a reason why he got evaluated. I'm not a doctor. So when you get somebody out, just like Drake, somebody else has to go in there.
What your quarterback situation this week, or is Dez your starter?
There's nothing. Guys, you can ask me 500 ways. We just finished a game. We got a lot of things we gotta go back and look at. I'm going to listen to the medical experts. We'll see how this week goes.
So he says, it sounds like Desmond Ridder's concussion protocol or concussion, getting checked out for a concussion, is Arthur's reason for not putting him back in the game. But the report was that he'd been cleared and wasn't put back in the game. This happened with Deshaun Watson, right? But he had the shoulder injury. So he went through concussion protocol. He was cleared, but then he had the shoulder. So this is why media and fans press the issue and why the questions keep coming. So for Desmond, still the starter or nah?
end of the day, obviously, you know, Taylor came in and did great, you know, did the job, you know, got moving, put points on the board. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a game of, I don't want to say it, it's a game of, you know, being to come out and execute. And, you know, like you said, you know, the past couple weeks have been tough as far as the execution part of it. Like I said, there's a lot of things in all games that we can clean up and be better at. And, you know, we'll go back to work on Monday and look at it.
Well, he didn't really answer the question, probably because he doesn't know. He doesn't know whether or not he's going to keep the job as the starter. Taylor Heinicke, well, he's been in this position before for years now. This is what he does. He lies in wait. He lurks. No, he doesn't. He takes leaks, and then he waits for the coach to call his name.
He's taking a leak.
Okay. What? Why? Why would you include that part of the story?
Better than Rodgers telling us about his movements.
That's true. I guess I'd rather hear about Taylor Heinicke taking a leak than the details that Aaron Rodgers goes into, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's a new standard. Aaron gives us way too much information all the time, and so Taylor Heinicke's been listening to his
catching on,
listening to his radio interviews. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so there's another situation there. Desmond Ridder, I don't know if I'd say hot seat. I mean, that's not necessarily a term you would use for a quarterback, but I would say that there's been a lot of chatter around whether or not he actually can be the quarterback of the future for the Falcons. And it's been frustrating for them because of the turnovers. Not so different than, who am I thinking of? Not so different than, what, crap. it'll come to me. I was thinking, Sam Howell. Sorry. Yes, Sam Howell, who also has been under fire for the turnovers that he's had. And it's been a roller coaster ride with him. Neither of those guys is rookies, but they're still young quarterbacks, which is why it's still a thing. Okay, so forgive my minute. I was stuck on Taylor Heinicke. Why? And where? My question is where? Why is it that I need to know where, Jay?
First thing I thought about was where did he do this? Where did this interaction take place? First thing I thought of.
Okay, so at least I'm not alone. Where do you look for a quarterback? Not in the same place that Taylor had to keep. Well, actually, that's where Arthur Smith was looking for a quarterback.
Maybe just go to the bathroom.
But I don't think he was in the bathroom. That's my point. Okay, we'll just leave it. We'll just leave it right there.
Imagination.
Yeah. No, thank you. So if you're a team looking for a quarterback, where do you go? If it's not Taylor Heinicke, where do you go? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. All right, that was 5 minutes of my life and yours. You'll never get back.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Pinheiro this time from 23 yards for the Panthers' first win of the season. From the right hash. Let's do it again. Jansen snap. Hecker's hold. Pinheiro's kick. The Panthers win! The first win of the Frank Reich era. Bryce Young's first win as the Panthers quarterback. 15-13. Carolina over Houston. Your final.
Good to know you won't go 0-17.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is good to be a Panther on this Monday morning. It is great to know the Panthers will not go 0-17. Congratulations to Frank Reich and all of the Panthers coaching staff, the players. Losing week after week after week is brutally hard. It wears on you because you put so much time and effort and blood, sweat, tears. Mentally and physically, you go all out to try to get these wins, and they've come pretty close. We heard Frank Reich say multiple times, we're so close, and they finally get the victory, though it does not come without its own bit of adversity. The call there on Panthers radio, a game-winning field goal from Eddie Pinheiro as time expires to defeat the Texans. So Carolina earns its first win, now 1-6, but the Panthers trailed in the first half because Houston, we've seen this now, the ball control ability, a touchdown drive that goes 92 yards, 17 plays. For the Panthers, that not only puts your defense on its heels and wears them out early, just a tough way to start, right, where you feel like you cannot get off the field. The Panthers also had a failed attempt inside the 5-yard line. But finally, Panthers get on the board because there's a Tommy Tremble touchdown catch. I just love that name. Tommy Tremble from Bryce Young late in the first half. In the second half, it's three field goals. That's it. But the Houston defense, the Houston offense is not quite as controlling. not the same control freaks with the football. There's a fumble midway through the third quarter. They've got another field goal that kind of comes after an extended drive. So felt like you're seeing the Panthers be in this mode where we'll do whatever it takes to win. Whatever it looks like, we don't care. We just got to get that very first one. And yeah, the only fourth quarter points come on the Pinheiro field goal from 23 yards. And they executed that last drive perfectly. 86 yards, 15 plays. There was a big fourth down completion in there. Good for you, Bryce Young. I can imagine. And it's not really about C.J. Stroud, but to have the number one and two picks on the field at the same time, you can imagine that for Bryce Young, for Frank Reich, this was humongous.
We're two teams. You know, that C.J.'s my dog, it's my brother. You know, have a ton of love and respect for him. But, you know, it's not a one-on-one game out there. You know, I'm super, super super happy for this team, to be a part of this team, super proud to be a part of this team. You know, a really resilient win. And again, it took all 11 and all 22 on both sides of the ball, all three phases. It took everyone.
Hey, Corbs, how good does that feel? And what?
And what? I like that he makes them yell the win part.
And win! And what?
And win!
Let's go!
See what I mean? They could celebrate like they've won the Super Bowl because it's got to feel like that. Remember the Jets a few years ago where they 0-14, 0-13, something along those lines? And man, they had fought so hard to just get one win. Just one. They ended up with two, I think. But it takes everything you've got every week. And I'm so impressed that they celebrated like they did, and the smiles, the relief for the Panthers, even though they're 1-6. Meanwhile, the Texans fall to 3-4, and Jay and I, wait, no, not actually, we didn't both have CJ Stroud, did we? I pick up CJ Stroud. I actually started him over Brock Purdy on my fantasy team, but I don't have the guts to look and see which one worked out better because there wasn't a lot for either quarterback.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest day for either. But.
Well, Brock had numbers, but he also had three turnovers, right, which took away his fantasy points. So good for the Panthers. Texans fall below 500, but I still like what they've done the first half of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We were talking about veteran quarterbacks earlier. I actually came up with a couple names that I think might be available or might be considered before the trade deadline for teams that are looking for warm bodies as quarterbacks. Jameis Winston is one of those that people are mentioning for obvious reasons. He was an overall number one pick himself back in the day. Oh, I love that phrase. Old people use that. Back in the day. Actually, I heard my brother use that this weekend, which is kind of funny. But he's got starting experience. He's been a starter in multiple places. He's a veteran. Whether or not you think he's the best option, he does have experience starting in multiple places. And so with Derek Carr healthy, you wonder, and Taysom Hill, who's a quarterback in name, not always in practice, but in name, he is a quarterback that they've used before. With Derek Carr and the Saints playing better on offense, maybe Jameis Winston is expendable. But speaking of Derek Carr, this was a huge day for him and for Rashid Shaheed.
Second and five, ball on the 42, clock moving, under 6 minutes to play. Carr to throw, middle of the pocket, looking, throwing deep down the middle, looking for Rashid Shaheed, catch, see you later, bye, touchdown, Rashid Shaheed, 58 yards.
Mike, speed kills.
So on the Saints radio network, Mike Haas with the play-by-play. And yeah, this was some kind of wonderful for the New Orleans Saints on the road in Indianapolis. So big deal for them. And I talked about this with Gardner Minshew. He can wow you. He can blow you away. And then he can look just as bad, opposite end of the spectrum. And so for the Saints, I think they just had to take care of their business. But 350 passing yards. They go 3-for-4 in the red zone. They're 50% on third down. And they're over 500 total yards. So if you're looking for a banner moment for the Saints, one that kind of picks up their spirit, reminds them of what they're able to do, and also everything that's still in front of them in the second half, this was the game.
We have been moving the ball, you know, whether we threw it, ran it, doesn't matter. You know, we did it all in all kind of ways today, and that's exciting for us. So like I told you earlier this week, I think we're getting better, you know, and I'm just happy that the fruits of that showed up.
I think what we've been missing is that really third down and red zone execution, and it felt good to kind of get that going today and have some good looks in the red zone and convert and be able to, you know, end drives with touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the end goal, the end game. Alvin Kamara, he was great. 17 touches in the run game, so 59 yards there, but also had over 50 yards in receiving, including a touchdown. Taysom Hill, he was actually their leading rusher with 2 touchdowns himself. So I think if we're talking about places veteran quarterbacks might be available, this is one where maybe the Saints are willing to part with Jameis Winston. It's tough because they kept him there even when they got Derek Carr. They didn't get rid of him. They had multiple iterations in terms of the coaching staff. And so they chose to keep him. We've seen him on the field when Carr was injured, so I don't know. That's a tough call. If you think that you're comfortable with Taysom Hill as your backup, should you lose Derek Carr for the season? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The Colts fall to 3-5. Saints are 4-4, so they're back to 500. Colts fall to 3-5, and right now they're without Anthony Richardson. This was not the plan, but Gardner Minshew giveth, and Gardner Minshew taketh away. And he's going to be their quarterback now. And so for them, they got to figure out how to snap this 3-game losing skid.
Everybody talks about, you know, toughness. Can you get back up when you get hit? All right, if you get hit once, you know, so what? You get hit twice. All right, 3 times now, who's tough? When your body hurts, when your heart hurts, who's tough? And I think we're about to have to figure that out, you know. But I feel good about the guys that we got. I don't think we're far off. I think we clean a few things up, start playing some complimentary football, and we can do everything we want to do still.
All of a sudden, the AFC South is not so wide open anymore. And I know people believed it was the Jaguars to lose, and that's true. But do you remember when they started out with, they went 1-2 in their first 3 games, right? And they've since won 5 in a row. They're 6-2. The Texans and the Titans are both 3-4. I mean, that's a big, well, I mean, it's a couple games, but the chasm, the separation between the Jaguars and the rest of the South feels enormous to me because of the talent level and the way the Jags are playing right now. The Colts are at 3-5. So you've got the Jags at 6-2 and then every other team in the division with 3 wins. And while we're talking about these rookie quarterbacks, I mean, think about the AFC South. C.J. Stroud, now we've got Will Levis for Tennessee, and the Colts, though they lose Anthony Richardson, did start him. That was the plan initially. So, yeah, it's the division of rookies except for Jacksonville, and therein lies a major advantage. Plus, they've had Doug Peterson in place now for his second year. They found some great momentum last season in picking up that first AFC South division title in quite a while, hanging in there till the end. They are definitely the team to beat in that AFC South. In the NFC South, the Falcons and the Saints are 4-4. So right now, that's your leading record in the NFC South. Buccaneers are 3-4. They've also lost 3 in a row. You know what Baker Mayfield thinks about that? Panthers get their first win. They're 1-6. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.